Well, the power struggle between Donald Trump and Congress has deepened, with the US president's eldest son now in the firing line. There's been a bipartisan move to subpoena Donald Trump Jr. to answer more questions about Russian interference in the 2016 election. And that's led the president and his allies to hit out at the Republican chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, Senator Richard Burr.
I saw Richard Burr saying there was no collusion 2 or 3 weeks ago. He went outside and somebody asked him, no, there's no collusion. We found no collusion. But I was very surprised to see my son. My son's a very good person, works very hard. The last thing he needs is Washington, D.C. He could rather not ever be involved.
It's the U.S. President Donald Trump overnight. Well, this comes just one day after the House Judiciary Committee voted to hold the Attorney General, William Barr, in contempt of Congress for not handing over the complete, unredacted Russia report by Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Victoria Nurse heads Georgetown University's Law School Center on Congressional Studies. She was previously chief counsel to former Vice President Joe Biden. Victoria Nurse, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
So the Senate Intelligence Committee has now issued this subpoena to Donald Trump Jr. It's a bipartisan. There's Republicans on that committee. Why does it want him to testify? And how much power does it have to make him appear?
Well, Congress has the power to make any witness appear by seeking a contempt sanction in court. So they can go to court if any witness were to come to them and say, look, this person is in contempt and I want them to testify. You know, he's not going to be sent to jail because his own father is head of the Justice Department and the Justice Department doesn't put its own in jail. But they have a pretty strong case to hear his testimony because he was at a particular meeting before the president took office that has been relevant to the Mueller investigation. And I suspect they want to hear more about that because the core of this committee's jurisdiction is about intelligence matters. And they care quite a bit about the core of the investigation in terms of Russian interference in our election.
Well, some Republicans have come out to take shots at others. We heard the president there say his son is a very good boy, a very good person. And another fellow Republican, North Carolina Republican, Senator Tom Tillis, said this case is closed. The Mueller report cleared Donald Trump Jr. and he's already spent 27 hours testifying before Congress. If that's so, what more could he have to tell them, do you think?
Well, not everything. Some of the Mueller report remains redacted. Some of the provisions, you know, that there are things that Congress doesn't know. You know, I think that the problem here is as much one single subpoena as a flurry of subpoenas because the president has been failing to respond to Congress on a number of fronts. So they are increasingly frustrated about what is normal practice here. Normal practice in Washington is that these requests are negotiated every day,
right,
up and down Pennsylvania Avenue. And this president has said no. In fact, he's preempted one by going to court with respect to his taxes already.
Okay. And Mark Rubio has come out and said, well, that's this criticism is just a fundamental misunderstanding of what's going on. We're talking about the Senate there, but the House committee is following up on the Russia probe too. The House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler said yesterday the conflict between the president and congressional Democrats has provoked a constitutional crisis. Do you think that's overstating this? Is the U.S. at a point of constitutional crisis?
Well, what we're seeing is the separation of powers in action. It's a stress test. I don't know of any president, and that includes Nixon. You have to go back to the 19th century to find a president who wholesale, across the board, pushed back on Congress over a course of subpoenas and a course of issues, as this president has. So I don't think we're at a constitutional crisis. Here's why. The courts. All of these cases are going to court now, and it will be judges who will have to decide whether the president can make some of these claims. And some of them are quite weak. Some of them are stronger. But it's going to get out of the hands of the House and the president, and it will go to court.
What, in Jerry Nadler's terms, what represents the constitutional crisis he's referring to there? Is this that the president used his executive privilege to stop that unredacted Mueller report being handed over? Is that what he's talking about?
Yeah, and it, basically what he's trying to say is Congress cannot function if it does not have information. So Congress oversees the executive branch under our separation of power system. They're not unified as in a parliamentary system. So they're competing for political favor, essentially. And they do this all the time. They've done it Reagan, George W. Bush, all of our Clinton, Obama. They do this every day in Washington. And so this is changing the rules in the middle of the game, according to, you know, the House. And they think rightfully that the president is often using arguments in some of these cases that are close to frivolous. You can't claim executive privilege about stuff that's been in the public domain, for example. It has to be secret stuff. So they are really pushing back and saying, we are going to flex our muscles. There's no way we can even decide about impeachment unless you give us the underlying evidence in the Mueller investigation. So they're saying our powers are at stake. He cannot prevent us from exercising our powers. And we are going to flex them so that we are going to seek contempt orders. And that's the regular order, the rule of law way to go.
Right.
If the president were to say, oh, I'm not going to turn them over. I mean, even Richard Nixon had a court order and he turned over the tapes. So if there were a court order and the president still refused, I would definitely call that our worst constitutional crisis short of civil war.
Okay. So the White House, as you say, has made it clear it intends to defy all these congressional subpoenas. Is that sustainable? Or will Congress need to start fighting or arresting people? Or, as you say, will it end up in the courts? And then that's a whole different...
Congress can't arrest. I mean, it does have a jail, but they haven't used that since the 19th century. They used to send a sergeant of arms out to arrest people, as they did in merry old England. But they don't do that anymore. They go to court. There's a procedure. The court declares that someone's in contempt, and then they must testify. This has happened throughout the 20th century, even in some of our rather unflattering hearings, like the McCarthy hearings, where the court affirmed Congress's power. Congress cannot legislate if it does not have information. So when the president says, I'm not going to give you any information, it makes them very angry. They say this is not the way we've been operating for the last 25, 30 years, and it's true. Not since Nixon has anyone been pushed back this hard. So they're angry, and now the only recourse they have is to go to court. The problem there is they're afraid it's going to take time. So it will take too much time, and other investigations against both Republican and Democratic nominees have been mired in the courts. So if the House is going to do this, they need to go quickly, and they need to get judicial rulings quickly.
Okay, this is all over the Mueller report, redacted, unredacted. The Attorney General, William Barr, is held in contempt of Congress for not handing over that unredacted Russia report by Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller himself has been requested to appear before the committee and is due to do so, as I understand it. Do you think all of this is likely to change that, affect whether or not Mueller himself appears before the House committee?
I don't really know that. That's uncharted territory. Literally, we've never had that before. So it seems to me that Mueller could testify about things that are now in the public domain, because there's no privilege about things that are in the public domain. That's not what they want to hear, though. They want to hear about the things that have been redacted, perhaps. They want to get the underlying evidence. So that may not help them very much. It may. I mean, a lot of American citizens, and just speaking as a citizen, you know, we'd like to hear something more from the investigation we paid for, because there are many concerns that it wasn't represented accurately by the current attorney general. So they may proceed to go forward. In this, you know, this is a fair amount of uncharted territory. Yeah. No one thought that Donald Trump would seek to prevent a subpoena in the tax case, where they're seeking his tax returns under a statute. No one thought he would preemptively go to court. No one thought he would claim executive privilege over the entire report, because that some parts of it may be, some parts may not. So it's really uncharted territory. I think that certainly the House is clearly very frustrated, because the rules that were used when Republicans were in charge vis-a-vis Democrats, etc., those rules seem to be, unwritten rules seem to be settled, right? Presidents didn't lightly, claim executive privilege. They did it as the last gasp. And now this president is not shy about doing it.
All right, Victoria Nurse, it's a great time to be a congressional law specialist. Thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you.
Victoria Nurse is the head of Georgetown University's Law School Center on Congressional Studies. She was chief counsel for former Vice President Joe Biden.